Chapter 98. The fat old lady? Apostrophe apostrophe inquired Mr. Pickwick innocently.
Hush, my dear sir, nobody's fat or old in Bath. That's the Dowager Lady Snuffenuff.
Apostrophe, is it, indeed?
Apostrophe apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick.
No less a person, I assure you, apostrophe said the master of the ceremonies.
Hush.
Draw a little nearer, Mr. Pickwick. You see the splendidly dressed young man coming this way?
Apostrophe apostrophe, the one with the long hair, and the particularly small forehead?
Apostrophe apostrophe inquired Mr. Pickwick.
The same.
The richest young man in Bath at this moment.
Young Lord Mutant.
Apostrophe, you don't say so?
Apostrophe apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick.
Yes. You'll hear his voice in a moment, Mr. Pickwick.
He'll speak to me.
The other gentleman with him, in the red underwaistcoat and dark mustache, is the Honorable Mr. Crushton, his bosom friend.
How do you do, my lord?
Apostrophe, vous êtes hot, bantam, apostrophe said his lordship.
It is very warm, my lord,
apostrophe replied the MC, confounded, apostrophe assented the Honorable Mr. Crushton.
Have you seen his lordship's mail cart, bantam?
Apostrophe apostrophe inquired the Honorable Mr. Crushton, after a short pause, during which young Lord Mutant had been endeavoring to stare Mr. Pickwick out of countenance, and Mr. Crushton had been reflecting what subject his lordship could talk about best.
Dear me, no, apostrophe replied the MC.
A mail cart. What an excellent idea.
Remarkable.
Apostrophe, gracious heavens.
Apostrophe apostrophe said his lordship, I thought everybody had seen the new mail cart. It's the neatest, prettiest, guasifulest thing that ever won upon wheels.
Painted red, with a cream peopled.
Apostrophe, with a real box for the letters, and all complete, apostrophe said the Honorable Mr. Crushton.
And a little seat in front, with an Iwan whale, for the driver, apostrophe added his lordship.
I drove it over to Bristol the other morning, in a crimson coat, with two servants riding a quarter of a mile behind, and confound me, if the people didn't rush out of their cottages, and ask my progress, to know if I wasn't the post.
Glorious, glorious.
Apostrophe, at this anecdote his lordship laughed very heartily, as did the listeners, of course.
Then, drawing his arm through that of the obsequious Mr. Crushton, Lord Mutant walked away.
Delightful young man, his lordship, apostrophe said the master of the ceremonies.
So I should think, apostrophe rejoined Mr. Pickwick dryly.
The dancing having commenced, the necessary introductions having been made, and all preliminaries arranged, Angelo Bantam rejoined Mr. Pickwick, and led him into the card room.
Just at the very moment of their entrance, the Dowager Lady Snuffenuff and two other ladies of an ancient and whist-like appearance were hovering over an unoccupied card table, and they no sooner set eyes upon Mr. Pickwick under the convoy of Angelo Bantam than they exchanged glances with each other, seeing that he was precisely the very person they wanted to make up the rubber.
My dear Bantam, apostrophe said the Dowager Lady Snuffenuff coaxingly, find us some nice creature to make up this table, there's a good soul.
Apostrophe Mr. Pickwick happened to be looking another way at the moment, so her ladyship nodded her head towards him, and frowned expressively.
My friend Mr. Pickwick, my lady, will be most happy, I am sure,
remarkably so, apostrophe said the MC, taking the hint.
Apostrophe Mr. Pickwick, Lady Snuffenuff, Mrs. Colonel Wugsby, Miss Bolo.
Apostrophe, Mr. Pickwick bowed to each of the ladies, and, finding escape impossible, cut.
Mr. Pickwick and Miss Bolo against Lady Snuffenuff and Mrs. Colonel Wugsby.
As the trump card was turned up, at the commencement of the second deal, two young ladies hurried into the room, and took their stations on either side of Mrs. Colonel Wugsby's chair, where they waited patiently until the hand was over.
Now, Jane, apostrophe said Mrs. Colonel Wugsby, turning to one of the girls, what is it? I came to ask, Ma, whether I might dance with the youngest Mr. Crawley, whispered the prettier and younger of the two. Good God, Jane, how can you think of such things? Replied the mama indignantly. Haven't you repeatedly heard that his father has 800 a year, which dies with him? I am ashamed of you. Not on any account. Ma, whispered the other, who was much older than her sister, and very insipid and artificial, Lord Mutant has been introduced to me. I said I thought I wasn't engaged, Ma. You're a sweet pet, my love, replied Mrs. Colonel Wuxby, tapping her daughter's cheek with her fan, and are always to be trusted. He's immensely rich, my dear. Bless you. With these words Mrs. Colonel Wuxby kissed her eldest daughter most affectionately, and frowning in a warning manner upon the other, sorted her cards. Poor Mr. Pickwick. He had never played with three thorough-paced female card players before. They were so desperately sharp that they quite frightened him. If he played a wrong card, Miss Bolo looked a small armory of daggers. If he stopped to consider which was the right one, Lady Snuffenuff would throw herself back in her chair and smile with a mingled glance of impatience and pity to Mrs. Colonel Wuxby, at which Mrs. Colonel Wuxby would shrug up her shoulders and cough, as much as to say she wondered whether he ever would begin. Then, at the end of every hand, Miss Bolo would inquire with a dismal countenance and reproachful sigh why Mr. Pickwick had not returned that diamond, or let the club, or roughed the spade, or finessed the heart, or let through the honor, or brought out the ace, or played up to the king, or some such thing. And in reply to all these grave charges, Mr. Pickwick would be wholly unable to plead any justification whatever, having by this time forgotten all about the game. People came and looked on too, which made Mr. Pickwick nervous. Besides all this, there was a great deal of distracting conversation near the table, between Angelo Bantam and the two Mrs. Mattinder, who, being single and singular, paid great court to the master of the ceremonies, in the hope of getting a stray partner now and then. All these things, combined with the noises and interruptions of constant comings in and goings out, made Mr. Pickwick play rather badly. The cards were against him, also, and when they left off at 11:10, Miss Bolo rose from the table considerably agitated, and went straight home, in a flood of tears and a sedan chair. Being joined by his friends, who one and all protested that they had scarcely ever spent a more pleasant evening, Mr. Pickwick accompanied them to the White Hart, and having soothed his feelings with something hot, went to bed, and to sleep, almost simultaneously. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.